got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show with FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with me, your show host, all you got to do is text real quick. Rundown later on in the program. Dell Jackson about an hour from now. He is one of our Monday regulars. And then the new House Majority Whip, State Representative Brock Colvin from Marshall County, Albertville, to be precise, will make his first appearance in the role, but here on this program. So you want to stay tuned for that. We'll kind of get an idea about what we should expect, how the legislature, how the session is going. Speaking of the session, someone who would know, joining us now here in person at the Fairhope Bureau, always a pleasure, my state representative, Jennifer Fiddler. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. A lot to keep up with here, so you know how it goes. Well, how's it going so far? We haven't really talked since session started.
It's been busy. You know, the first day of session, we gaveled in, and those days are just super busy with receptions and work and meetings, and it feels like we're getting up there at 6:30 or so in the morning and not getting home till 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. Those days, you know, during those days, and it mainly is just meetings. I've been going up at day early, just to kind of have a head start and kind of feel somewhat settled before we start it all on Tuesday. So that's been helpful. But it's just been, we've had a lot of informative meetings. We've seen our county commissioners come up. They've had their cakes and conversations reception. We've had the League of Municipalities have all the mayors come up. So we saw Mayor Sullivan come up. She's vice president of the league this year.
That's right.
So it's a big deal. So we, get to see all our home people, you know, up in Montgomery. So it's exciting.
3 day weeks. You're burning some days. We're like 20% of the way through the session already here in the first 2 weeks. The 3 day weeks kind of struck me, but I assume that's just you get those 2 weeks for spring break, right, is the plan. It sounds like kind of like y'all did last year, but that's I guess why it seems so hectic. They're kind of burning it up on the front.
Well, the when we came in last Wednesday, I was a little, I didn't realize we were going to come in Wednesday until he announced it Tuesday. But the bill, we knew that we'd have quite a bit of debate or controversy. We wanted to start it early, you know, Wednesday morning. What is a woman? Mm-hmm. And so that that did garner. We had a lot of debate on the calendar. So whenever we start off session, we talk about the calendar, and that's one of the first things we vote on, and that can be debated. So that was debated for, I don't know, a good 45 minutes or so. And then the bill itself really wasn't debated that long. But, you know, it was a bill that we had discussed and debated quite a bit last year. It just didn't make it through on the Senate side.
Right. Well, and everybody was kind of tied up with gambling or whatever. Watching that, though, some of these controversial bills that are going to fly through just based on who controls the legislature are getting done kind of early, it seems like, at least some of the moving parts and pieces. And we've seen some of the committee hearings and some of the bills that have been filed. How does that make for, like, I guess, the end of the year? Like, historically, you get the BIR, and then it's just like a free-for-all at the very, very end. But getting some of that's out of the way early on, I mean, what do you think of that approach?
It's kind of what we did on a couple of our bills last year, right. You know, with the ballot harvesting being passed in the very beginning, which I appreciate, you know, is some things that we don't need to, you know, I think we're going to be for the majority and we do need to hear debate, but it's important enough that we can get that move on and get that on out of the, you know, out of our out of our way, so to speak, and keep moving on and finding the important things that we need to pass. You know, last week we had the Back the Blue package.
Right.
So that was that.
Well,
was,
the Democrats are now. Where were they on that? Because that was seems like it's the thing that led to that package. A lot of it. It kind of already a trial run at Montgomery where, you know, last summer he just had bullets flying everywhere. He had another bullet hole in the RSA building across the street. And did they push back on that or how was that?
Well, we had a Democrat that actually sponsored a bill that was passed out of Public Safety and Homeland Security last Wednesday. And so immediately that they moved on to the conference. We only took up one bill because we got out of session with the What is a Woman bill, and we moved on to Public Safety and Homeland Security, which was we were late starting that meeting. Passed just one bill was the Democrat's bill, and he was able to go on and do the Back the Blue. And the scuttlebutt I've heard is they're a little bit upset, the Democrats, and they think that, from what I've read, they're a little bit miffed with the making sure that police officers are, you know, there's enough like if there's a bad actor in our police force, that we are able to get in there and, you know, have justice for the victim. And so that's what I've read that the Democrats are a little upset about. And I'm sure if that's the case, that would be something that we can listen to, you know, as the Republican Party and
work through an amendment process. Through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to switch your gears here. This was a question on the text line. I mean, you're familiar with the inner workings of the Farmers Federation, Alpha, trying to get their own health insurance plan, getting pushback from one of the big mules, Blue Cross Blue Shield. But give us a rundown there. Are you hearing anything, any progress on that?
We did have an informative meeting, a breakfast. Actually, it was Wednesday morning. So it was a 7 a.m. breakfast where we actually did hear from the Farmers Federation a little bit more. More questions were asked. I have been meeting with Farmers Federation now for the last several months on this bill, asking questions, making sure that, you know, just making sure I understand it. So the reason why we have to push it through the legislature is because it's not going to be like health insurance, and it's not going to be regulated by an insurance board. So we are not going to be charging that 1.5%, I think, on or the whatever the percentage is, where because we're regulating it. So it's non-regulated. It's a health plan, and that's why it has to go back through us and the legislature. So this health plan, they're going to partner with United, and that was one of my questions, okay, because I've had complaints on some insurances not being the provider not taking up some insurance like United. And they did their due diligence, come back and said, no, it's all good. But this health plan is really geared toward insuring the people, the young people that are going into farming, and that one of those people have to be at work because they have to have insurance.
It's like you go to be a farmer. We have this deficit of farmers right now, young people. What do you do to get like your health insurance, retirement, all the benefits you would get at like a 9-to-5 job doing something else? So it's a competitive disadvantage, right?
It is. So at one point in my life, whenever I left city county government, I had to look for my insurance for my husband and I. And I was at this point where I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to go back to work for like the city, the county, somebody, because I have a pre-existing condition. And so anybody with these pre-existing conditions, you just can't get insurance anywhere. They deny you. This health plan would be able to say, yes, we like you. No, we can't cover you because you have a pre-existing condition. So one of you and your husband or wife, one of you has to go, if you got this situation, you're going to have to go either in some kind of government, somebody who does not look at your health, because that would be illegal. We can't look back and say, oh, you have this problem, so we're not going to be able to cover you, therefore right. we can't hire you. But that's why it's so much more expensive for cities and counties and governments to actually insure people, because they have to take everybody, anybody that comes, and as long as they pass that employment exam and their interview, then you're going to insure them. But these health plans, no, they look at your pre-existing conditions. They look at the health of you. Do you smoke? I mean, all these factors. And then they decide if they're going to actually be able to insure you or not. And that's how this one will be organized. But that's, you have a lot of healthy people, young people that's needing to get in. Well, our farmers are hurting. I have a relative that's farming. They had a good crop last year. They lost $10,000. Farmers need to have a good crop every about, it sustains them in the bad years, because we don't know what the weather's going to do. So you hope for a good crop at least every other year, right. or every 3 to 5 years, that maybe that will cover these other bad years. Well, last year they had a really good crop and they still lost money. You're going to see farmers not farming. And so that's just what we're going to, we have to do anything we can. Do I 100% agree with everything in the health plan bill that Alpha has? Probably not. But is it the best thing overall for this sector of people that we're trying to cover and help? Yeah, I think so. And so, right now I'm at, yes, we are still, I know Blue Cross Blue Shield has a lot of issues. We do have somebody in the house that is trying to work out these issues with between the Farmers Federation and Blue Cross Blue Shield to try to something that everybody likes a little bit more. But
as a representative, I mean, like Blue Cross Blue Shield objects, and sure, they could object, but like, so what? You know, like what would they say if they want to put up this blockade? What would they say about the issue? We're talking about a farmer and needing to provide for their family some kind of health coverage. What would be their answer to that? Do they have a plan B, or do they have an alternative proposal? Because we're at this like crossroads here where we got to figure something out that how to fix this problem. And they're just, no, we don't like that. It's not fair. Well, I mean, they kind of got a monopoly in the state. It's United Healthcare or Blue Cross Blue Shield in Alabama. And they're not really picking up the slack here at all, it seems like.
Well, going back to my research and what I had to go through whenever I was looking for, you know, insurance, yes, there is a monopoly. And I didn't feel like that we did as a state give our people enough choices. The insurance board, I mean, I did contact them. There was a lot of like holes, in my opinion, that we could actually go back and say, okay, this is what, if you're just like looking for insurance, these are your options and these are the ones we regulate. But if Blue Cross Blue Shield were probably saying this is not apples to apples, because this insurance or this plan is not going to be licensed, it's not regulated by a board. Going back again to what I ended up doing, was we ended up getting insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield through our business. So they do offer plans, and because I was already a Blue Cross Blue Shield member prior to.
Does every farmer, everybody was in your situation perhaps, but specifically what Alpha's trying to do here, have the option of going through their business? Like they don't, right? Like there's not that avenue. There's what's available now. If I decide I'm quitting radio and 18, 19 and everything I do to go be a farmer, what are my options for Blue Cross Blue Shield to get health coverage?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, but what the avenue we did 3 years ago or 5 years ago, whenever it was, we actually went through our business, and because it offered insurance for more than two employees or to at least two employees, we were able to go through our business. And that's what we ended up doing. So you probably can, but you have to have more than one employee that you offer the insurance to. And we ended up doing that, and we paid some health care for some, you know, half of, you know, health care, and they paid half or whatever, some of our employees. And that was the situation we worked out. So they perhaps still offer that plan, that would be an option. But it's difficult. It's difficult. I have, you know, another family member who couldn't find insurance, but his daughter had a pre-existing condition. So they went to the Affordable Care Act.
I mean, I'm not preaching that you don't, but it just the opposition here to this, it's coming from more like their bottom line and their monopoly and protecting their turf than it seems to be like Alpha's got this problem and we're trying to rectify it. Do we really want to be in the health business, you know, or not? I don't think that they do, but they recognize our members here, our farmers, got to have something. What can you guys offer Blue Cross Blue Shield? And that would be the question I would have, and that's not directed at you, but what else is there? This is like the best possible remedy, right?
Well, and from what I understand, there were conversations with them. You know, Farmers Federation did have conversations. I just don't know that they went very well.
Well, let's get a quick break in here. Sorry to filibuster on you there. This is the Jeff Moore Show. We got Jennifer Fiddler here in studio with us. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Purple sky. Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Silicon Dale Jackson and Brock Colvin on the program. Still with us, State Representative Jennifer Fiddler here for just a few more minutes. The Alpha Plan, open to everybody, right?
It's open to anyone who has the, or if they're an Alpha member, which is about, what, $23 a month? I mean, a year, $30 a year if you're a member. With Alpha. So if you, and then they'll, again, it's a health plan. So they would, you'd have to have a wellness screening.
Gotcha. The age of medical consent was another question. And, you know, whether or not minors, and maybe this is like, this is kind of born out of this idea that, yeah, these minors either going to get like an abortion or they're getting some kind of transgender surgery or whatever it is. But at a certain age, they're going to making these medical decisions without their parents' consent. And in Alabama, we got to get a gray area there that needs to be, like, I guess, cleaned up or stated explicitly.
I can talk on Representative Brown's bill. We passed it out of the House, and it stated that if you've got a minor, which be under the age of 18, then you would need your parents' consent to get a vaccination. And this, we passed this bill out of the House last year, and the negative feedback I got, the opponents, I would say, would be from people in the healthcare industry that say, we see patients 14, 15 years old coming in here, and they've been abused, or they've been in a situation that they don't want to talk about, but they need that vaccine from the HPV virus. So we're able to give these young ladies this vaccine if they so choose. And we don't tell the parents because the child just don't want to talk to the parents. And this goes on a lot more than you think. I mean, this is the people talking to me about the doctors are telling me this, that they're seeing these young people in their care. They come in and they want to be able to give them that vaccine without, because that's the law. Anybody young, you know, 14 and older can make their own decisions. Of course, I went back and talked to the parents that I know, mamas and daddies, and I said, okay, here's the situation. What do y'all think? You know, they overwhelmingly said, oh no, my child, I need to know what's going on with my child's health. I pay the bills. They're under my roof. I need to know. But it sounded like from the doctors, it was more on the trying to stand up for the people that were abused or in a situation they couldn't talk to their parents, or, you know, for the health of that individual. But we did pass that out of the House, and there is another bill that you're talking about that talks about any procedure under that age. I just haven't read that bill.
Well, that's one to keep an eye on. What should we watch out for this week? Anything?
You know, we I've got several committee meetings, public safety and homeland security. We got, you know, city, county government, lots of stuff up there. I don't know what we have on our agenda. I have not seen our calendar.
All right. Well, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, Representative. Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thank you.
All right, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.